January 27th, 2013, The Enemy's Help, Part 15. Wow. Part 15. And I'm just going to let you know that we spent almost 4 months learning about the enemy and how he's just a pawn in our life. But we need to do more than just learn about him. We need to implement what we've learned over this time. It's a time or a call to action. No longer can we sit here for 4 weeks or 4 months and gather all the nuts, but then not share them with somebody else. Not be able to do what God has given you. He's given you these tools. He's given you these ideas. He's given you these thoughts. He's given you this information this morning. Over the last 4 months, we've gained information and knowledge and insight on how the devil works and how he's there to help us, or how we're going to use him as a pawn in our life, how to take what he meant for harm and turn out for good. Amen. The last 2 weeks we discussed the 10 weapons that the enemy tries to use. He tries to isolate you. Don't be isolated. Spend more time with Jesus every day. We got to grow up and mature in the Word, in the ways of God. We got to get our emotions and our feelings in check. We got to know who God says that we are. That we're the head, not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed coming in and we're blessed going out. We're a king's kid. We are powerfully connected to a source that can't be cut off. Amen? You got to confront your hidden fears. You confront your hidden fears by exposing it to the light of the Word and by walking by faith and not by sight. I don't need to walk by my sight. I want to walk by faith. Because when you walk by sight, you get blinded by what you see. Don't allow the enemy to resurrect your old things, your old ways, or put you in connection with old friends that want to bring you down. Get knowledge of the Word. Get knowledge, get knowledge, get knowledge of the Word. That's what we said. Because one of the weapons the devil uses is if he keeps you stupid, he keeps you blinded, he keeps you tied up and tangled up and in a mess. Amen? Don't do anything but get knowledge of the Word. Avoid being ignorant to the Word, because if you're ignorant, boy, you get taken advantage of. Amen? Remove any pride that you have, because pride will make you fall. Humble yourself before God and man. That's what we need to do, because the devil will use the pride that you have in your life and just abuse you in front of people. Amen? So you got to humble yourself. That's what the Word says. Last week we talked about familiarity, and you know, it destroys honor. Those that are closest to you, you're so familiar with that you don't honor anymore. Remember that Jesus couldn't perform any miracles in his own hometown because they were familiar with the boy that was a carpenter's son. He was a son of a carpenter. Oh, who's this Jesus? And he couldn't even perform any miracles because they were so familiar with him. The battles in your life are determined by how you think. So get rid of your bad thinking or your stinking thinking, because you become how you think. You become how you think. So this morning I'm going to continue just a little further in this series. And we've been talking about 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. We've been talking about it for 14 weeks. I figured 15 weeks would be good. Amen? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, "For our light affliction," we go through a little bit. We might get a couple scabs on us. We're going to have a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things that are seen, but things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that we see might be getting eaten up by moths, or may rust, or may fall away, but the things of God are eternal. And we may go through some stuff. We may go through some tests and trials. We may get bruised up a little bit. We may get scabbed a few. We might fall down and have to pick ourselves back up again. But it's only a light affliction. As Jesus said, the cross was only a light affliction. If he could handle the cross, I think we can handle some of the stuff that we deal with. Amen. So this morning I want to share a couple things with you. And God put this in my spirit. You might want to put your first point there is the atom bomb. The atom bomb. And as we discussed before, that the devil has no limits on what he wants to do to you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to bring you down. He wants to abuse you. He wants to make mockery of the name of God. And he'll try anything and do anything he can to destroy you, to get you off track. And he'll do this to you and anyone that's connected to you. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like your family. He doesn't like your kids. He doesn't like your neighbor. Amen? He don't like you. He wants to destroy you. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 5:7. This is the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation in 1 Peter 5:7 says this. Give some of your worries and a couple of your cares to God, for he cares about you. Isn't that what it says? Let me see what it says. Oh, I had a different translation here. I had the Doubting Christian version. Give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. If you got no faith, you can't stand strong. He's going to eat you up. He says, remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all around the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In other words, you ain't alone. You're not by yourself. Other people are going through what you're going through. You haven't just been selected out of just a few. You have been chosen to be going through some stuff along with all your other brothers and all your sisters in Christ. You're not alone. But it says stand firm against him. The only way you stand firm against him is if you have the word and that your faith level is strong, because the devil tries to tempt your faith. But there was an atom bomb that came. To kind of level the playing field a little bit. And I want to share with you something about this, because there's things called covenant relationships. And covenant relationships were meant for you to work together against whatever enemy is attacking that covenant. Marriage is a covenant relationship that was designed to be, you know, for until to death do us part. Amen? Marriage was designed to go the distance. That's a covenant relationship. Your relationship with Jesus is a covenant relationship that will last for eternity. Pastor, what are you saying that for? Because many times the devil tries to come against the covenant relationships, and that you need to stand both tall together as one. Now let me help you here. Jesus was given the name the second Adam, because the first Adam kind of didn't get things done right. So Jesus came as the second Adam. The atom bomb is what I would say he was. Not just because he was bomb, hip, and all that good stuff, but when he got done dealing with the devil, he brought back to you your health. He gave you victory over death. He gave you victory over hell. He gave you victory over the grave. Jesus came as, quote, quote, the second Adam, or the atom bomb that leveled the playing field. What the devil had stole, hallelujah, from you, Jesus is going to take it all back for you. But if you're not in covenant with him, then you can't enjoy the benefit of that. We got to leverage the covenant relationships that we have and team up against the enemy instead of trying to deal with him by yourself. If he can get you by yourself and isolate you, he will beat the tar out of you. So let's be smarter than that and use our covenant relationship. Our husbands and wives should be praying for each other. Our relationship with Jesus is a covenant relationship. He's given you tools. He's given you connections. He's given you relationships in your life to overtake the enemy that tries to come against you. But if we don't use the tools that we've already been given and the things that God's already placed in front of you, they're for naught. Why? We got to use the word. We got to use our prayer language. We got to pray before God to be able to defeat the enemy. He's given you these things, but they sit in a chest that isn't open. A Bible just sits on the coffee table collecting dust, but it's never picked up. Your computer's never exercised to go to search the Bible on the internet because, you know, you just ain't got no time. God's given you tools, the ability. He's given you the internet to find out all the great things that God has for you. And God wants you to be in covenant relationship with you because there's something special about covenant. And I'm going to share this with you this morning to help you understand that the devil can't defeat you when you're in covenant with Jesus. He's going to try. He tried with Jesus, but couldn't defeat him. There's three courts of intimacy. We've heard this before. There's three courts of intimacy. We've heard of the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Now, intimacy is just not sex or closeness. Intimacy is information. And I'm going to help you this morning because you're going to like this. Information in the wrong hands could hurt you. Information in the right hands could help you, right? But the enemy uses information to destroy you if he can. The information that he tries to get from other people or other sources, he uses that to try to destroy you. He tries to bring down ministries. He tries to, people running for president, they get brought down before they even could get brought up because their past bit them in the tail end. Because they were intimate with somebody that told a secret to somebody that could use it against you. I was thinking about the election and I was thinking about that gentleman that owned the pizza company. What was his name? Herman Cain. And all the stuff they threw against him and the stuff, you know, and some of the past things and people come. There's intimate secrets about him that end up being exposed. The devil uses those things against you to bring you down. See, intimacy in a relationship is created by sharing things that are private, things that are personal, things that are deep secrets that you share with somebody. But what happens in society today, people think it's okay on the first date to tell the person that, hey, you know, all your personal information. And then they use it against you. The devil uses those things again. When people are in the outer court, they should know a whole bunch about you personally. See, the outer court is a little different than the inner court, and the inner court's a little different than the Holy of Holies. And one key to defeat the enemy in your life is to have intimacy with Jesus. Here's why. You want to have a covenant relationship with Jesus because he's willing to share some private things with you that he's not willing to share with somebody else. And that information exchange that he shares with you is going to help you be able to defeat the enemy that comes in your life. God's going to share some things with you to set you up to win every time. But if you're not intimate with him, if you're not spending time with him, he doesn't want you on the outer courts. He doesn't want you in the inner courts. He wants you in the Holy of Holies where he can divulge all his secrets, all his information, so that you'll know that when the devil comes, you've already seen it come. God's already prepared you. God's already planned a plan of escape. Jesus used an example in the Bible when he spoke about this to his disciples. Take a look at John 15:15. Because there's different levels in relationships. I heard somebody say one time, he says, yeah, they went on a dating service and they met the person and the person was a widow and it had millions of dollars. And so she goes on a date and says, well, you know, my husband died and, you know, and I'm only 35 years old and he left me, you know, $100 million. And you don't think that person wants to stay connected to you? Maybe for the wrong reason. Well, I give information to somebody that you just first met. It's crazy. The devil will use that against you every time. John 15:15, we're there, right? John 15:15 says this in the New King James Version. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The relationship of the disciples. Jesus picked 12, hung out with them. They were servants first. And the servants didn't know everything what the master was going to do. But when Jesus became and switched the relationship from the outer court to the inner court, and then brought them from the inner court to the Holy of Holies, he began to call them friends, and he says, whatever in all these things I'm going to share with you is what my Father told me. I'm going to give you some insider information. Now get this morning. A relationship is not going to get closer just because you spend more time with somebody. Your relationship becomes stronger and happens to grow because there's a transfer of information, secrets, insights about that person. When I started dating my wife, I didn't know a lot about her. I talked to her, met her a few times, and she said, she's pretty cool. She's hot. Yeah, I love her. She's all good. But then when we begin, and we spent a lot of time, but then when we begin to share information, it drew me closer to her. It made that bond a little stronger. I said, I got to know a little bit more. I would share a little bit more. She would share a little bit more. And we would spend hours upon hours upon hours on the phone, getting to know each other. We were transferring information. And I said, boy, I like that person. There's something about the person I need to know a little bit more about. That's what Jesus did with his disciples. See, intimacy is insider knowledge or insider information, but it needs to be earned. I couldn't get the key to my wife's heart until I spent enough time with her and transferred enough information that I earned. Don't give everything away to somebody that you don't know, because they will use it against you. That's why there's three levels: the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. The outer court, there are acquaintances in your life, people that you just met and don't know too much about. So you should be guarded. You don't know if that person's going to come again. That's why I'm very cautious when people call the church. I ask a million questions before I meet with them. I had somebody wanted to come preach at this church, said, I'm going to bring forth this word, and God's called me to do this, and we want you to do this and do that. And I said, that's okay. I don't know you. Send me information about your ministry. I want to know your statement of faith. I want to know who you are. I want to break some bread with you before I get to know you. And I ask a couple questions to see where their heart's at. You come preach at my church. How much money you want? See where their heart's at right away. Well, you know, we like an honorarium of X dollars. Oh, so you're just coming for the money to milk the congregation. I don't know if your word is worth that dollar amount. Maybe it's only worth 50 cents. Or I could say, yeah, come on in. Go ahead and preach. But an offering comes and there's a $1 million check in it. I'm only going to give you your honorarium you want. Don't be offended by it. Don't be upset. That moves somebody that had a $1 million check they left. Then it was for your ministry, but you only chose to only trust God on your honorarium. We don't do it for the money, Pastor Di and I. We go places because we want to go be a blessing. Matter of fact, if they have two offerings, we give them both offerings. You know, we can drive and put gas in our car to get where we need to go, and I got enough on my credit card that I could probably pay my own hotel, too. God tells me to go there, I'm going to go there. It's got to cost me something. Now, usually they bless you in that, and they take up the love offering, and that's cool. And a lot of times we just give that love offering back. I mean, because I'm not in it for the money. I want to be a blessing. The inner court. The inner court's a little different. Maybe they're a closer friend, but you don't know all the intimate details of their life. So when you share with them, you need to be a little cautious. My wife and I started dating. I was on the outer courts. I was way on the outer courts. I was way on the outer courts. But then I slowly transferred information with each other. And I became on the inner court. Still cautious. She was still guarded. Who is this guy? Can he be as charming as he says he is? Is he all that he says he is, or is he blowing smoke? But she found over time, like Jesus found with his disciples, he said, first you're my servants, but now you're my friends. Friends means you're a little closer. I got a little better relationship. I know all your faults, Peter. I know all your faults, Judas. I know all your... I already know what you're all about because I've spent some time with you now. And they started finding out about Jesus, what he was all about. But then there's a place called the Holy of Holies, and it's reserved for a person or persons that are called to be in covenant with you. They know your weakness, they know your hurts, they know your struggles, they know your strengths, they know every detail about you. They can almost say the words out of your mouth before you. They almost help you finish the words you're going to say in a sentence. And those are the relationships that are deadly to you sometimes because of divorce. I'll give you an example. Divorce is so painful is because that person knows everything about you. And the devil, if he can cause divorce to take place, he knows he's ripping hearts apart. Because you were both once, you both spent time intimately sharing, intimately gathering together, sharing every stronghold, every weakness, everything, and working together is what to be broken and ripped apart. And then the devil uses those things in a court setting to say, look at that guy, he used to be like this, and he treated me like that, or she did this to me, and she did that to me. The devil's a mastermind of taking that data, that information, and putting it into the enemy's hands and destroying things. People shouldn't have access to the Holy of Holies unless we have a covenant relationship. Otherwise, the enemy will use it to defeat you and to delay you. That's why it's important to have our covenant walk with Jesus every day. Because he's giving you information. The Holy Spirit is transferring information to you that's valuable for your life. How to walk, how to talk, what to do with people, certain circumstances, situations. How do I deal with my children? How do I deal with my marriage? How do I deal with this? How do I deal at work? How do I deal with pressure? How do I deal with crazy drivers that don't know how to drive? I want to pound my fist on the desk when I'm driving. God will share all those intimate, those secret things. God will even share how the devil got kicked out of heaven. And the things he did that you want to stay away from. And how he took a third with him. He had him so tricked. But still two-thirds left in heaven. See, God wants you to know that there's greatness locked up inside of you. There is greatness locked up inside of you. And the level of difficulty, you might want to write this down, the level of difficulty you face in battle is an indicator of the greatness that is in your life and in your family. The level of difficulty you face in battle is an indicator of the greatness that is in your life and your family. Small futures are birthed from small battles. Great futures are birthed from great battles. We don't hear the little battles that go on over in Afghanistan right now, but do you hear about the big ones and the players that are involved in that? Great futures are birthed on great battles. Maybe, you know, I think the enemy knows something more about you than you know about yourself. Maybe the enemy knows that there's such a greatness in you that he's got to squash it now before it takes root, because once it takes root and grows, he can't tear it out. It's easy to rip out an acorn, but it's hard to rip out the oak tree. Taking a whole bunch more work and a whole bunch more demons to cut down that oak tree that's 28 inches in diameter, that's rooted to the ground, than it is for him to go and pluck his fingers in the soil and pull out the acorn. See, here's something he knows about you that you may not know about yourself, that he's afraid of, that's going to happen to him. There's lives that are connected to you. And when you're intimate with God and in covenant relationship, he wants to share those things with you so that you can impart those to your friends and family and those that are connected to you. He might give you a business idea that will produce other jobs, that will connect you to other people, that will get people saved. So maybe the enemy does know a little bit more about us than we know about ourselves, because that's why he chases us so hard. That's why he wants to destroy you. That's why he wants you to die and get out of his way, because he knows that there's something inside of you. The enemy is after your destiny. The enemy is after your destiny. He knows that there's something great about you. And he knows that if you see it and you pursue it, he's in trouble. Once God begins to share with you how good you are, how you're a king's kid, how you're the head, not the tail, how you're above and not beneath, how you're blessed coming in, and I'm even more blessed when I go out. When you understand whose you are, once you spend time alone with God in the secret place of the Most High, when you begin to do those things that God's called you to do that you thought you couldn't do, come on. God is all about your destiny. He wants you to get to your destination. He wants you to get there as quick as you possibly can without any delays from the devil. That's why he wants you to spend time with him so when you're in covenant, he can share those things with you so you don't fall into the ditch. That's why he says, be a giver. Don't rob me, because you rob me, I can't bless you. I got nothing to work with. Don't miss church and get in congregation and fellowship with other people, because if you're isolated, the devil will beat your brains out. Well, I don't need to go to church. I know people tell me, I don't need to go to church, but when they're in trouble, they call me. Or they call you. Say, why don't you come to church? Well, I ain't got no time for that. Then your trouble's not that great. Because if I was in trouble, you know where I ran? I ran to the church, and you'd get out of my way. If I had to jump over 15 hurdles, I'm going to get there. If I have to take 3 buses, an airplane, or whatever I got to do to get where I need to go, and that's where I need to be, I'm going to get there. I'm not going to be stopped. Because I don't want the enemy to destroy or stop me from my destiny. Don't allow the enemy within you to hinder what God's already planned for you. Use your covenant relationships to take down the enemy in your life. Use the second Adam bomb, amen? Use God, use Jesus. He's the second Adam that came and just leveled the playing field. He took away your sickness, your disease. He put you in a position of authority. He's put you in a position of power. And he used the devil as a pawn in your life so that you'd be blessed. See, the enemy is just there to help you, to spur you on, to encourage you to know that the word really does work. I went through something and I used the word and it worked. Faith after faith, being built on faith, being filled on faith. Your battle in life will not be determined by how you will be determined how you think. You become who you think you are. If you think that you're not going to do it, then you're not going to do it. If you think I ain't got enough of this or I ain't got enough of that, then you think and you won't have it. But if you start to think big, I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that, I'm going to have a big ministry, or God's going to bless me with my business and it's going to touch a multitude. You're doing it for His glory. And you start thinking big. You got to get so big that you can't do it on your own. But you need a covenant partner. Oh, that's good. There's some things you can't do by yourself, but you need a covenant partner. It's hard for me to massage my own back, but I got a covenant partner that can grind my back out, amen? Can't do it on my own. And when we get into covenant, oh, and God is the center of our covenant, He's speaking to both of us. I'm getting double the information. I'm getting double the blessing. That's why the Bible says you can put, one can put 1,000 to flight, but 2 can put 10,000. Notice how I didn't say 2,000, he said 10,000. See the multiplication when you get in covenant with God? Things move a little quicker. More things can get done. More things can get accomplished. And the devil's used as a pawn. See, there's greatness that's locked up inside of you. You just got to get the keys to unlock them. And you got to use the tools, your connections with God that He's placed within your hands. And those that are, you got to be intimate with God. And He'll share with you the blueprint of your life and bring you to victory. When Jesus came to this earth, He came to die so that you can live. The level of your difficulty that you face in battle is an indicator of the greatness that's in your life, in your family. Sometimes the more difficult the battle, there's a greatness that God's trying to pull out of you. We've been through some battles. I've had some scars. I've been down and out and thought I was going to be done. But you know, It's funny, if you ever watch Big Time Wrestling, and I used to love watching that when I was a kid, a big kid, about 25 years old, amen? And I used to go to those events, and I knew it was all fake and everything, but it was fun to watch. And there would always be one that would be almost down and out, and my favorite was Hulk Hogan at the time. You know, he had blonde hair, flowing like golden locks. Lots of muscles. Nice fake tan, hallelujah. And he was big boy. And he would get down, and they would be putting him out, and they put a sleeper hold on him, and all of a sudden he'd raise his hand, and he'd fall. And he'd raise his hand a second time, and he'd fall. And he'd raise his hand a third time, and his hand would go up. And then he'd get that strength, and he would get up, and then he'd take the guy and crush him. Well, that's what you're going to do to the devil. You're not out. You're going to have some battles that you feel like you're almost out, but then, oh, I'm getting the strength. I'm getting this resurrection power from God. And all of a sudden, he bounces off the ropes and clotheslines the guy and knocks him down and knocks him out, and he's the victory. That's what God says about you. Already have the victory. You might have not seen it yet. You might not feel like I got it, but you already have it. All you got to do is go do it. It's a call to go get it done. The enemy is after your destiny. It's time that we put the enemy on the defense and put him under our feet once and for all. We've spent 4 months talking about the enemy's help. And I'm like, God, are we going to let it go? God says, I'm just trying to tell you. I'm trying to help your people. I'm trying to get this to them. I want you to know, 4 months, it's not an eternity for God. It might feel an eternity for you. 4 months, would a pastor ever change something? I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And let me loose on this. The enemy is trying to get after your destiny. And God was sharing with me, it's about time, instead of us running from the devil, that we start putting him on the defense. We start beating him up a little bit. We start waking up in the morning and say, hey, devil, I'm awake. You thought you had me out. You thought you had me out. But I got this strength from inside of me that comes from above that allows me to be able to take you to the mat and then keep you under my feet. The devil is just there to help you to get to your next level. Shout with me this morning, devil, I'm coming after you. Look out. I am connected to God. God and I, we have a covenant. We're in relationship. I know some secrets and how to defeat you. You know, I have a destiny, and I will fulfill it. I will walk in humility, and I will honor those that are close to me. Today, I will enter into the Holy of Holies. I plan to stay there for a very long time. Jesus is preparing me for what he wants me to do and what he wants me to say. My mind is on the things above. I will not fear, for I'm in faith. I'm walking in the blessings of God. I am blessed. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. In his mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Give the Lord a little praise this morning. Did you get anything? Hulk Hogan is only a fictional person. But Jesus is real. And when the devil counted him out, and when the third hand were to come down, Jesus, well, no. Hell, that's mine. The grave, that's mine. Death, that's mine. He dropped the atom bomb on Hades. Shook the whole foundation loose. Jesus took it all for us. And he's given you the same power, the same resurrection power, the same ideas and thoughts and things to defeat the devil that's in your life. The devil's there just as a pawn. He's just a pawn. But you got the master who's going to checkmate him. You win at the end of the day. You have the victory. That's what the Bible says in the book of Revelation. If you read it, you'll find that you get blessed when you read it. It's the only book that says you get blessed, but I know I get blessed in every chapter of every Bible and every verse of the book, Bible, but that one says there's a special blessing. Because if you get to the end of the book, that means you probably read all the other books before it. So he's going to give you the best life. You have the victory in Christ Jesus. Don't let anybody, no devil, no person, no anybody tell you you can't, because you can. You're too old for this. You're too old for that. You can't do this. You can't do that. You'll never amount to anything. But you gotta watch what you're saying. I was joking this morning. I was talking about, we bought a drum set for the church. And I told my son, I says, you go there with your puppy dog eyes and you say, well, we a church and we ain't got too much. And if you could just help us with just a small donation, and if you could just, you know, I know you want all that money for that drum set, but could you help her, brother? No. I didn't tell him to do that. I said, you tell him that you're building up a youth group and that you need a drum set. And it's going to be a blessed drum set. It's going to be a best. It's going to be used to bless God. How much do you want for that? And then they say, and I say, you negotiate a little bit. And then if you have to give them the full price, give them the full price. Why? Because God shall supply all of my need. And when he got done, he got what they wanted. I think originally 300, but they knocked it down to 250. He said they'll settle for 250. That's what they really, really wanted. And they threw a whole bunch of other stuff in for him. So your pastor yesterday, hallelujah, was playing the drums in the garage, where all the neighbors are going to love me, praise God. And my son laughed because I was just a little off beat a little bit with the music. I sounded good, I thought. But I was deaf in both ears, but now God set me free. Hallelujah. We'll probably get some neighbors' attention. At least we'll be able to invite them to church before they move us out of the neighborhood. Praise God. Oh, God, we get ourselves into some stuff, but it's good. But I say all that because, you know, we don't walk around like we're poor, busted, and disgusted. We ought to walk around. I'm a king's kid. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm connected to the source. I got somebody I'm connected to. My family member is even richer than Bill Gates or Steve Wynn or any of these other rich guys. Because what I got the richness of the Holy Spirit. I've got an elder brother. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus to all that's God's. But we need to act like it. We need to talk like it. We can't walk around and say, well, I barely got nothing to get by. You know, I still got these raggedy old pants. And we'll go out and do something different. Change it. Go out and step out a little bit. Do something you normally wouldn't do. Just trying to help you. Just trying to help. Use the enemy as the pawn. Know that you're going to win. Know that you have the victory. Know that your covenant relationship with Jesus gives you the insider information. Gives you the data that nobody else has. People say, Pastor, what's your key to success? How do you just run like the energy bot? But how do you go from morning to night? How do you because of him? He's given me some inside information. He's given me some facts. But it's great because when my wife and I get together, we're getting twice as much facts and stuff coming in. More information to decipher. More information to make better decisions. What did God tell you? God told me that. What did God tell you? Oh, okay, I guess we're in alignment agreement on that. What did God show you? He'll show it in a different way, but it's the same thing. He shows me in the man's way, and he shows the woman in a woman's way, you know, the way they compute things. But it comes to the same result because we're one. But if you stay as one before the devil, he can't beat you. Everyone says, man, your wife and you dressed alike. She's wearing brown, you're wearing brown. We didn't even compare until she came here this morning what she was wearing, I was wearing. But see, if you put us back to back, we look like two bookends. She's got my back covered. I got her back covered. Amen? Because why? Because we're one. We're in covenant. Think about it. See, all night, you're going to think about that. That's good, Holy Spirit. Thank you. But she's got me covered from the backside. I got her covered. So the devil can't split us. Because there's too many holy of holy experiences that he wants to get. And it would hurt both of us. So we're smart enough to say, you know, that devil just trying to get in here, man. He can wipe us both out if he gets that inside information. If the enemy ever gets that code to the atom bomb, so we're going to just keep it amongst the family. Amen? If they ever get that nuclear bomb somewhere in his other country, information in the wrong hands will cause trouble. That's why I can't wait for the next election, then. All the dirt that's going to come out, who's ever run it, because it, you don't know, they're trying to get rid of it right now. They're trying to eliminate it on the internet. I never said that, never did that, never did that. Be honest. Just be honest. You're a liar, you're a thief, you're a whoremonger, you're a cheat, but then you got Jesus, and he wiped the slate clean. So I know you'll find some stuff out there, but that ain't me no more, because I've been serving God for so long. That's the old man. I mean, I was thinking about my class reunions this year. It'll be 30 years. I ain't going to go because they don't know me. They knew the old man. And I'll be the only guy there, probably hair, praise God. Real hair. Bike with it, swim with it, run with it. It's still good. It ain't one of those weaved-in deals, okay? How did you stand the test of time? I stood on Jesus, who stood the test of time. 30 years this year. And I thought, boy, it'd be kind of interesting to go, but we'd have to go back where it's cold and rainy and miserable. I don't want to go back there. I got nothing in common with them all. Nothing. Some of them are still drinking like they were when they were in high school. I'm like, did you ever grow up? Or are you just going to be a Toys R Us kid all your life? Huh? There's nothing to do. Been through 8 marriages. You're a marriage expert now. Maybe you should come teach my class. But they're missing one thing. The covenant relationship with Jesus. They get in covenant relationship with Jesus, your covenant relationship with your wife gets a lot clearer, a lot easier, and the standard's set high. I thank the devil every time he tries to come my way, because now I know what his outlook and what he's trying to do, and I got backup, man. I could put 1,000 to flight, but 2 of us, 10,000 to flight. Get connected with someone that can help you. Lord, bless your people. Allow them to have their best week ever. Lord God, when the enemy comes and raises their head, let them put the devil on defense. Let them put the devil under their feet. Let the enemy, Lord God, be beaten up by the word of God as they speak it to their circumstances and situations. For Lord God, these are blessed people. They've been blessed coming in, but Lord God, they are more blessed going out today. I ask you to bless them, to touch them, to increase them, to use them, Lord God, to move mountains, and Lord God, to put your kingdom first on this earth. Allow them to partner with their wives and partner with their friends, Lord God, to get it done for you. Bless them this week. Put a hedge of protection around them, Father God. And let them know all the weapons of warfare that the enemy tries to use, that they have a counter to each one. And they have that ultimate exhausting all atom bomb, hallelujah, Jesus, that will level the playing field, and that, Lord God, they will have the victory. In Christ Jesus, I pray in his name, and everybody said, amen and amen.